Hormones. What are they? And as a fitness professional, what do we need to know about the hormonal system? And if a client asks us about hormones as far as exercise goes, or hormones as far as I'm on antidepressants and I want to be happy, how do I get my hormonal response changed? A guy might talk to you about testosterone and I want big muscles, so what effect does my hormonal system have on my big muscles? Women might talk to you about the hormonal system in relationship to menopause and putting on weight, and how do we answer the question? And of course, that great human Albert Einstein, who suggested that a genius will take something very complicated and make it really easy to understand, and a person with a very large ego or someone who doesn't understand it will then make it very complicated and difficult to understand. So I'm not going to pretend for one second that I understand the hormonal system or the endocrine system or how hormones work in our body. However, I do want to know what effect my hormonal system has on my body, and I want to know if it has any effect on my client's body. So what do we actually need to know? Now, the first part of that is, of course, the hormones that happen when we exercise. So it's always been suggested that when you exercise, you pump, obviously, blood, oxygen, nutrients through your body, and that the hormones that pump through your brain, serotonin, dopamine, endorphins, brain-derived neurotrophic factors, how's that for a good word? What are they? Well, I've got no clue. What I do know is that when I exercise, I feel good. And everybody else will tell you the same thing. It's called a runner's high for a reason. When you are doing something physical, then those hormones are pumping through your brain. Those happy drugs are pumping through your brain. So what's the benefit of exercise from a hormonal perspective? Number one is that you're going to feel better. You're going to feel happy. You're going to have happy drugs pumping through your brain. Yay, love that. Now, the next one you'll hear about is when you eat food, there's a hormonal response from insulin. Now, I don't know what insulin is. I've never seen it. I don't think I've ever tasted it or smelt it. What I do know, though, is that your food goes through your body, and let's think about your body as a hose, for example. And if you pour water in at one end, it's going to come out the other end. The digestive system's pretty much the same, except for hormones. Hormones open up the cells of the body to make sure that the vitamins and minerals and macronutrients and etc. go into the body. So what does that? And that's what insulin's responsible for. And I get excited about it because we often hear about insulin from a negative point of view. Oh, that person's got type 2 diabetes, or they're diabetic because their insulin doesn't work, or they don't have the right amount of insulin. And that, of course, is a challenge. But interestingly, insulin itself is simply responsible for taking our food out of our tube, out of our hoses, and putting our food into our cells. So it's like the little gate opener that says, okay, I need fat in here, I need carbohydrate in there, and I need protein in the amino acid pool, and get rid of the alcohol because we don't need that. There's nowhere to store that, so let's burn that off. So when we talk about insulin spiking or sugar giving us an insulin spike or carbohydrates giving us an insulin spike, it's interesting when you talk to the endocrinologist, that's actually not what happens. All food is put into the cells by insulin. So it's not that sugar gives you an insulin spike, it is that all foods will give you an insulin spike because insulin is responsible for taking food out of your bloodstream and putting it into your cells. Now, the big one though to consider though with sugar, for example, is that the actual molecule of sugar is quite large. And if it's floating around in your bloodstream, it's going to do some damage to the hoses. It's going to cut some holes in the hoses. It's going to cause some bumps and hassles in the hoses. So yes, insulin will be wanting to get those sugar glucose molecules out of the bloodstream and into your cell as quickly as possible. So yes, when you eat food, you get an insulin spike. If you eat lots of sugar, you might get a higher insulin spike because we want to get those bigger molecules out of the tubes and into the cell. So insulin in itself is not good or bad. It's just the thing that gets stuff out of the tube into the cell. Cool. What about the thing that gets the food out of the cell back into the bloodstream so that you can burn it off? And my favorite example of that is, how the hell do I get fat out of my fat cell? And we know that a fat cell has the ability to get very big. And not only does it have the ability to get very big, once it's too big, it has the ability to split and become two fat cells. And that's how we get fatter and fatter. So how do we get the fat out of the fat cell into the bloodstream so we can burn it off? And that is this amazing hormone called a catecholamine. And that excites the hell out of me, because we hear a lot of insulin, and insulin spiking, and sugar's bad for you, and what happens when you don't have good amounts of insulin. But what about catecholamines? Those little babies are awesome, because when you exercise, the hormonal response doesn't just pump happy drugs through your brain. It forces catecholamines to be ignited, to get going, to be used, to open up the cells of your body, to get the fat out of your fat cell into the bloodstream so you can burn it off. And the higher the energy required for the exercise, the more muscles being used, the faster your heart's pumping, the higher the hormonal response. Now, I get really excited about that, because if you're ever thinking about doing an exercise program, how hard should I work? The harder you get puffed, the heavier you lift, the higher the hormonal response for energy to come out of the cell into the bloodstream so you can burn it off. So that's all very interesting, insulin, catecholamines, what's all that about? But ultimately, if you eat food and you exercise, those two things just work naturally inside your body. You don't even have to think about them. It's not like, well, I'm going to lift my arm now, and it's a conscious decision. If you eat food, insulin will work, and if you exercise, your catecholamines will work, and food will go in and out of your body really effectively. So let's do a reverse. Rather than focusing on the hormonal system, the skeletal system, the muscular system, the cardiovascular system, all the systems inside the body, how about this? If you are fit and if you fuel your body effectively, is it possible that all of those things will work really well all by themselves? So if you lift heavy things, your muscles will pull on your bones, so your bones will be strong, your muscles will be strong, because they respond to overload. Is it possible that if you push yourself physically, that you'll pump happy drugs through your brain, which means you will feel good? Is it possible that if you are fueling your body effectively, that you eat when you're hungry, you stop eating when you're full, and you put the right fuel into your body, that your body will just deal very effectively with what you put into it? So if you overload it with an enormous amount of sugar, yes, your body's going to have to work really hard to get those big glucose molecules out of your bloodstream, out of the hoses, into the cells. So we now have a body that is out of balance. But if you keep everything in balance, is it likely that everything will work more effectively? And that's what I love about the study of anatomy and physiology. It's not about, I have to learn this stuff because I'm a fitness professional. For me, it's always been, well, what's going on inside my body? When I eat food, what happens? How does the fat get into the cell? And when I exercise, how does the fat get out of the cell? And is it possible to not put too much fat into the cell in the first place? Which is, how much food do I need to eat to make sure that I maintain my weight, maintain my energy level, maintain my size for the rest of my life? And when you get a balance of, and we always talk about a balanced diet or a balanced exercise program, but ultimately, isn't that what balance is all about? That the food that you eat gets used, that the exercise you do makes you feel fantastic and gives you tight, strong body, and a lean, strong body, and a fit, strong body. And when you've got that balance sorted, is it possible that your bones will be strong, your muscles will be strong, your hormonal system will work effectively, your cardiovascular system will be healthy, your respiratory system will be getting oxygen in and out of your body and nutrients around your body really effectively, and your digestive system will put food into your body, you'll be pooing on a regular basis because the bad stuff will be coming out and the good stuff will be staying in because the hormonal system's working well. They all work together. But is it possible that we don't have to be concerned about it too much if we just stay healthy, fit and strong and don't do anything to the extreme? When we talk about moderation, it's yes, exercise, yes, eat healthy food, yes, get some sleep, yes, have a positive attitude, and then maybe everything will work together hormonally.